Would like to call the meeting to order. I apologize for us being in late, but we're going to do what we can. Pledge of Allegiance, Mr. Crawford.
Please rise, and if you would face the flag and follow with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
There was no action taken in closed session. Student representative to the board, Kathy Vang.
Hello. So I'll be reading Marysville High School's report first. This was prepared by Pierre C. Desmond. So last month, they had the first ever honor roll bowl, which was successful. A lot of students dressed up for the spirit days in their March Madness event. And ROP Small Business had a great turnout for the art show. For the month of April, they had their annual Spring Election Leadership Conference. This leadership training, planned and ran by current seniors, helped guide incoming leadership students by teaching them what it takes to be a good leader. They also invited incoming freshmen so they could get acquainted with leadership family before they officially joined MHS. They also had their election speeches. Candidates running for ASB in class office were to give a speech to their school, explaining their goals for the term and what they plan on bringing to the school. Last week, they had CAS testing, so they were on block schedule. Both seniors and juniors took various tests. In progress, they have election voting. Students are given ballots to vote for those in running for office based on what they know about them from the speeches and other forms of campaigning that is going on. To end the month activities, there is lunchtime activity held by Leadership Rally Commissioners. There will be a game on the street at lunch to help get students excited and boost morale as we come to the end of the school year. From Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts. So their Walk for the Arts took place on Thursday, April 19th, in which students raised money for the school. During Walk for the Arts, there were games, music, rewards for the students who had the most amount of sponsors. MCAA had a pilot leadership team event on Friday, April 20th, in which students had the opportunity to buy tickets to pie some of the leadership team members. This was a fundraiser for the MCAA leadership team. MCAA is having a multicultural week from April 23rd through Thursday, April 26th. There's a culture music played at lunch, and there are informational posters about different cultures. Thursday will also be a Dress Like Your Heritage Day. MCAA's AP Environmental Science class will be having a trash and fashion show on Friday, April 27th at lunch. MCAA Showcase with Senior Spotlight took on Saturday, April 14th at the South Auditorium. Students auditioned to be part of this performance. MCAA's production of Nice Work If You Can Get It will be taking place from Thursday, May 3rd to Sunday, May 6th at the MCAA Outdoor Stage. The MCAA Excel Club is currently hosting a clothing drive, and they'll be having a trash cleanup day on campus every Tuesday during lunch for the remainder of the semester. The MCAA Environmental Club will be making bird feeders. The MCAA SWAT, Student Who Are There team, is currently raising money for the AT Children's Project. This was respectfully submitted by Manberry Sanghera. For Lenders High School's board report, the Diverse Student Association Club held their Night of Cultures on Friday, April 13th. This is more commonly known as the Culture Show. There were many performances, such as K-pop, Blazer Generations, Miss Mon California, Cindy Cha, who was an alumnus of LHS, UBL from Valley High School, they came all the way from Sacramento. We've also had performances from Marysville and Oroville to come and perform at our school. It was very well organized, decorative, and overall just a great night to embrace diversity. Our music club finished their play, A Frog and Toad, 2 weeks ago after running it for 3 days. They worked really hard, and it was interesting to see people we go to school with every day showcase a different side of them. The leadership class is currently doing Random Acts of Kindness Week. This is because unexpected kindness is the most powerful, least costly, and most underrated agent of human change. Our Happily Ever After prom will be occurring April 28th from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at Ting's Refuge. Tickets are on sale now in the student store. The LHS tennis team hosted a tournament at the Natomas Racquet Club on Monday, April 23rd for a GAL singles player. Kristen Vang, Peter Tao, and Vinicius Heinen made it to the quarterfinals, while Richard Hurd made it to the semifinals. Wednesday will be our doubles tournament. Also happening tomorrow will be baseball at West Campus. This week, class campaigning begins. Votings will take place this Friday. Students will be voting for their best, the best person to represent them for the next school year. And that will be all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Next, we have the school report, Oliverhurst Elementary School. Mr. Sullivan. Let's try that again. Mr. Sullivan. I thought I left it on the whole time so I wouldn't have to remember.
This year has been both a year of transition and some foundation building for all of her staff and our families. But the addition of a new principal, a new front office staff, and two new teachers, creating community and building positive relationships has been a vital focus all year long. To build a foundation and create a common purpose, we first had to establish an identity. And we began by asking the question, what is Oliverhurst, referring to the school. The answers were varied. There wasn't a consistent shared belief amongst our staff and community members. Oliverhurst was something different for everyone. So we started during our August staff development time together by working to create a list of our goals for the year for each of us. So this was a list of our goals compiled. And what we did is categorized them. And from our list of goals, we were able to kind of come up with three key areas to focus on: school culture, professional development, and communication. Three pretty easy ones to focus on. And as you can see, that's where everybody's goals fell. So in one way or another, what people wanted to accomplish on their own would be addressed through our schoolwork. So we want to build the foundation of our culture on the word community. And what does that mean? It's a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. That's a dictionary definition, by the way. So some of our efforts, examples. We smile and welcome everyone to our school. That is a passion. It is a requirement, so to speak. We start the morning with a community walk. If you've been there, every morning, families are welcome to walk the playground together after the breakfast, and the staff all together until the bell rings. Then we kick them out and lock the doors. We recognize positive behavior all day, every day. And we believe it is a gift to help raise the children in our community. Those are prerequisites that really help motivate, but also help unite us. Our main resource for nurturing culture has been our development of our positive behavior interventions and supports. And rather than listen to me talk about it, I invited one of my teachers, Elise Sokolowski, a kindergarten teacher, so be prepared to, you know, sing along.
So hi, my name is Elise Sokolowski, and I'm also a kindergarten teacher, but I'm also on the PBIS team. I use the term team lightly because PBIS is about creating a positive culture on campus. We do this by setting, teaching, and reinforcing clear behavior expectations. All staff members contribute to this, whether it be through the student activities, Sunshine Committee, Character Education Committee, or the work we're doing in our own classroom. The efforts of all staff and students help build a positive culture and successful PBIS program. At Oliver's Elementary, our expectations are be respectful, be responsible, and be ready to learn. These expectations are posted around the school and in every classroom. We started the year off with a PBIS kickoff assembly, where teachers perform both non-examples and examples of each expectation. As you can imagine, the students love seeing their teachers in the skits. We continue to reinforce these expectations on a day-by-day basis and in our monthly assemblies. One way we reinforce these expectations is with the golden ticket. Students can receive these from any teacher or staff members when they are seen meeting our expectations. Students then turn the tickets into the office and are entered into a weekly drawing. The golden ticket is a great example of the success of PBIS this year. At the beginning of the year, when students would turn in their golden tickets, they would say they earned it by being good. Now the students say, I was respectful or responsible or ready to learn. They also say things like, I was responsible by picking up trash. The golden ticket is also really successful because it's really exciting to see how excited the students and the parents get when they receive a golden ticket. You take a look at it, there's a line, and we're able to cut it off and send it home with the parents.
What is that, Dr. Todd? I
can't wait to put it on my refrigerator.
So PBIS has provided the students and the staff with a common language and tools to be successful. Teachers have commented on how nice it is that it doesn't matter which student you're talking to, all students know the behavior expectations. As a classroom teacher, PBIS has helped me simplify my classroom management. All I have to say is, can you show me how you're ready to learn? Or thank you for showing me that you are responsible, and the students respond to it. My students have also shown more school spirit. Before we implemented PBIS, if you asked my students what school they went to, they would say Ms. Sokolowski. After PBIS, my students know that they are Oliver's Eagle and what that means. One time, around March 17th, a leprechaun visited my classroom, and during lunch, they left a little surprise for my students. Instead of cheering and clapping with joy, when they received the prize, my students started chanting, Oliver's Eagles, Oliver's Eagles. So I don't know what it says about my classroom management, but I know that it says my students are excited to be at school and to be an Oliver's Eagle. So, in a nutshell, PBIS has helped define what it means to be an Oliver's Eagle, increased our school spirit, and helped create a positive culture on campus. Thank you.
And you got to see an example of one of our wonderful students, Hukmani. And yes, we encourage students to point out the positives as well for each other. We don't give them a stack of tickets or golden tickets, but you know, they can tell us and we help them get it to them. So thank you for your help. So PBIS has helped us build a community around recognizing positive actions. Good choices are celebrated. This has increased desirable behaviors and decreased discipline issues. Want some data? Our average yearly days of suspension from the years of 2011 to 2017, 95 days. Mike can do the math and tell us what ADA that might equate to. Since we have instituted PBIS as a way of being, we currently have 8 days of suspension. So, does it make a difference? For us, it does. It also makes a difference because when students are with us, they learn. When they're at home, who knows? So we know we can control that because being part of a community is all day and every day. Also part of creating community is improving our students' academic achievement. We are a school, it is part of our business, but we wanted to focus on our jobs as the teachers, the instructors, the educators. And so early on we identified a weakness. And we were able to identify a weakness all throughout the school, and that was around reading and reading comprehension. So as a result, this became a shared instructional goal, something we could all put our efforts towards. So our professional development focused on that. Teachers were trained in our PLCs, professional learning communities. We met during collaboration days, both as grade level PLCs, but then as a whole school PLC to focus on that work. Assessment data is used to organize students into similar reading level groups where we can focus instruction based on their needs. And then our learning center and our grade level intervention resources are coordinated to support all of that. So after reviewing our recent English language arts assessment data, we have seen average reading levels grow consistently in all grade levels this year. Most students have actually already made a year's worth of growth. Now, it doesn't mean we're all reading at grade level, but if the fruits of our labor is the growth that we nurture, that's how we're going to measure our success. Our target is still grade level, but we want kids to grow from their time with us. And there's still 5 weeks left in school. So it's not time for parties, it's time to actually grow even further. And we'll party a little bit. So to help facilitate the school culture and community building efforts, we also need to improve our communication, our practices within the school and from school to home. This primarily revolved around the ability to message information in a way that helped empower people to be active participants in our school community. The goal was to provide more than just dates and announcements, and instead connect with people philosophically and emotionally. So we have some examples. My lovely assistant will pass those out. Of our staff and parent newsletters. We created these. Staff newsletters come out weekly, parent newsletters come out monthly, and they include a personal message and not just the nuts and bolts. We've also created a Facebook page where information is shared weekly, and we will continue to enhance our online presence. This presentation started with a question: what is Oliverhurst? Well, today we shared a little bit about what the work we did to answer that question. But it's kind of a trick question. The answer is really always evolving. We must continually ask and answer the question to ensure that what's been established allows for new families, new staff members, and new ideas to be included. So this will be what drives our community, the people who make it at the time that we are doing it. Hopefully you're able to see some evidence of this when you visit our school, and we actually have a perfect opportunity to share this in person. If you know anything about Oliverhurst, we have a wonderful garden. And this was one of the things that was shared with me. What is Oliverhurst? What is it about? Well, we have a garden. Well, that's great.
Thank you.
But what our garden actually is a perfect metaphor for the work we're doing every day. The garden, the work taking place around campus, just as the seeds are planted and nurtured, so are the hopes and dreams of our students. Our staff tends to our students' needs and provide the nutrients vital for growth. And the garden is a place where the growth of each plant is valued, just like at Oliverhurst Elementary. So you have a coupon, a fill your sack in our garden come morning in the garden celebration in May. And I will tell you, the carrots are off the hook. They are about 2 feet long now. So I think we probably need to figure out what to do with some carrots. But we have a wonderful display of the work that our students, our teachers, our garden docent / special ed teacher, Mr. Pingle. You are all welcome to join it, and I think it's a perfect example of what we're trying to accomplish every day. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. Any comments or questions from board members?
I really like your golden ticket proposal, and I have the utmost respect for anyone who teaches kindergarten. I really do. There's a couple of you here tonight. Thank you.
I would just like to say thank you all so very much for coming out and sharing with us tonight. I'm going to do my best to come because I want to see that carrot. So thank you very much.
Welcome.
I would just like to say, too, I really appreciate the golden ticket ideas. I actually developed that and put it on the refrigerator and try to use the same terminology for my TK grandson that goes there. So we talk a lot about being responsible at home and doing those things. So I think it's a great idea to carry over into the home. Excellent. So thank you.
Well, it's the staff, all staff that have shown here tonight are examples of it's not something we do, it's who we are. So thank you. I'm glad it's translated.
Can you introduce your staff to us?
Sorry. This is a test.
In charge of everything. We have Ms. Kovach, one of our teachers, a combo teacher, so she's looking exhausted. Ms. Sokolowski, kindergarten teacher. One of our long-term subs in for a position, Ms. Bulletin, but she's, I think, been at our school every day since the beginning of the year. We have Ms. Harrow, one of our teachers. Ms. Staving, one of our teachers. And we have the actual unofficial principal slash queen, and that's our school secretary, Ms. Andy.
Thank you, and thank you all for coming and what you do.
Nice meeting.
Comments from board members? Mr. Allison? Mr. Boom? Mr. Fleury?
I've got a couple. Recently, the Exchange Club did our ACE Award, which we do every year, called Accepting the Challenge of Excellence. And one of my judges, a group of judges, was the Homeless Project, and they did a great job. We have 3 out of 4 that went are moving on to the next level, which is the state level, which could be 1,000. We've won that 5 times. We've won the national level once for 10,000, and I appreciate those in the Homeless Project to realize how hard they work, and I want to mention their names because they've worked hard to help these kids that have really nothing. Jamie, of course, leads the project. Amanda Book, Liz Preston, of course, Cindy Helm. And then from the transportation, we have Don Patterson and Danielle Garrison, who make all this come together to get these homeless kids the best education they can, and the extra things they provide for them is amazing. Then also, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we went to the Yuba County Employee of the Year dinner at Wheatland High School, and I understand next year our district's going to participate. All the other districts participated this year, and it was an amazing to see the food, the dinner, the enthusiasm of the superintendents as they presented their employees, and actually 2 of them went forward to be represented in the state Employee of the Year, classified and certificated. One of them was at the juvenile hall, amazing individual, 69 years old, and his enthusiasm for working with these kids, you can see how he got recommended by his district. Also, as most of you know, Kovalod recently got Distinguished School, and I would think that what I would like the board to send something to them. They are the only school in 4 counties that won this award, and I think that's quite an accomplishment. And I would like to see, if possible, send a letter from the board signed by us commending them for what they've done. That really is amazing that they were the only school in 4 counties that got that. And then fourth, Edna Alexander, who works at Cordova, is retiring this year after 40 years in the same school, 3 generations. An amazing individual that she put her life into that. And she's like part-time principal, being as her principal has to share 2 schools. And many times she had to step in and do that. And this is a shout out to Edna for a great job over the years.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. Mr. Crawford.
Yes, just quickly, Earth Day fell on a Sunday, April 22nd. And I was curious, so I checked into 3 schools on Friday and then again on Monday. And I was really impressed the awareness, even at the 3rd and 4th grade levels, that the teachers took at the time. They discussed what Earth Day meant and what the environment means. And I think if we're letting our 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds know, it's going to be a better world to live in. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Scott?
I would just like to say that I had a chance also to attend the awards appreciation at Wheatland High School. And before I go any further, I would just like to say, even though that our school district was not able to participate, I still recognize and honor the fact that we have the best classified and certificated staff, and I thank you all very, very much as well. It was very exciting to be there to see all the recognition that the staff that did receive those awards, they read, they showed videos, and it was like you could see they displayed the things that they did, and it was very, very good. The culinary arts put on a very, very fine display. They served as though they were professional. They were there. You drink a little bit of your tea and they were ready to give you some more, you know, so they were like right on it, you know. So it excited me to see the students to be able to participate and to display their fine talent as well. So it was very nice, and I hope that hopefully next year we'll be able to get a chance to be a part of that. So it's going to be real hard because you guys are all great. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. Mr. Davis?
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight, I got a chance to go to Yuba Gardens open house and to witness the enthusiasm of the teachers, the parents, the students that were there was just reassuring that we have a great staff that's already been mentioned. I was able to catch a couple of the instructors who didn't have somebody there in interest of their student. It was very instructive to me, the dedication of these teachers and the kind of love they bring into their job. So it was very gratifying. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. I just had a couple of shout outs, and the first would be to Mrs. Lisa Mejia for all the work that she does, for being able to put together our board packets, answer any of the questions that we have. She just works above and beyond what her responsibilities are. So thank you, Lisa. And my second shout out would be to my fellow board members for their professionalism that they show at their duty of being a board member, and the respect that they have for all of our students and our employees for the Marysville Joint Unified School District. So thank you, board members. And thirdly, I had an opportunity to attend a community awareness forum regarding human trafficking. And I'd asked Dr. Todd to send out the information to all of our employees to make sure that or give them the opportunity for awareness. And the goal of the seminar is to educate children, youth, and adults to increase the knowledge and awareness for intervention and prevention of human trafficking. So most of the things that happen, even in our area, are exploiting children sexually for money. So it's knowledge is very important for us. So Dr. Todd, thank you for sending that out. Next, opportunities for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Joint Unified Teachers Association.
Hi. Right now we're in bargaining, and one of the items that we're bringing forward, and I think that just about everybody in the district, administrator, teacher, parents, agree that it needs to be worked on, is the language around our PLC time and our the minimum days and all of that. So I just put out a survey a few days ago asking all of our teachers to complete. I've gotten 196 responses already, which is pretty high. I don't think that we had that many responses on the school calendar, which was always like a big deal. Anyway, so people are really giving a lot of information for me, and I have a PDF copy to share with you. I have one copy, sorry. But I know Lisa knows how to make more, right? I agree with you about Lisa. So we have the current assignment, the locations, just so that you can see the broad spectrum of who filled out this survey. And things that, some highlights here, thinking about the Wednesday minimum days, please indicate your preference on frequency below. The choices they had were weekly, twice per month, once per month, or no collaboration. I think you can see from there, the very top one is weekly. That's over 55%, 108 people said that they want it weekly. And in the reason I'm going to give you this copy is so that you can see the written out responses, things that people wanted to add about it. Having one of the biggest complaints is this Wednesday a minimum day? Coming from students, teachers, and parents. And so many confusing things, because in some schools, yeah, it's a minimum day, in other schools it's not, because of the days that schools sites have put in for when their minimum days are, don't always align. And so if you have a child that's going to two schools, this Wednesday is minimum day for everybody, but this Wednesday is not. And even if it's not every Wednesday, having consistency like every other Wednesday or every second and third or whatever, something that you can say it will be like this. Anyway, that was one of the big ones for everyone. And then on which day of the week, I had people rank their first, second, third, fourth, and fifth priority. And surprisingly, okay, you know what? Put up your fingers for Monday's a one, Tuesday's a two, Thursday's a three, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sorry, is a three, Thursday's a four, Friday's a five. What do you think came up? I knew people would think Friday, except for the most recent teacher in the room. Wednesday was the highest priority one. And Monday was actually the lowest, can you imagine? Friday and Thursday tied, and Tuesday was slightly less. And then part of the confusion that we're having, that we're gonna try to get straightened out with our language, is about who decides with whom you're gonna meet. And based on the answers, we have a little bit of a problem still. The majority said that their site administrator decides with whom they're going to meet. The whole point is, as a professional, you decide with whom you need to meet and about what you're going to meet. Sorry, let me go back. Site administrator, 65%. Said their site administrator makes that decision. The other things that they could say were me, like I make my own decision, 42% said that. And district office administrator, four people said that. And I don't meet with anyone, four people said that. And there are lots of comments about that topic. Enjoy. And then on minimum days, who decides your agenda? This one's much more promising. The my site administrator got 34%, which is not so great. The me answer got 17%, but the my team decides 69%. So yay for that. This is our first year. We're getting better already, I think. And then how do you prefer sharing your team's efforts with your administrator? The choices I gave them were provide notes on paper, enter information on a common Google Drive, share out significant highlights at staff meetings, verbally with the administrator, a little informal, and other. There are others listed, but of those choices, the highest percent at 35% was verbally with the administrator informally, and then just below that, entering the information on a Google Drive. And the last question, other than what other things do you want to share, and boy, have we got a lot of that, is which of the following best describes your experience, or best describes your experience with Maria Nielsen, the person that's been coming. And I gave them the choice of, I have not met her, that's 11%. Her assistance has been essential to our progress, 15. Her assistance has added value to our progress, 35. Her assistance has not added value to our progress, 27. Her assistance has been harmful to our progress, 1%, that's two people. But when you get into the notes underneath, and what I've been hearing in meetings and people that email me, is that in regard to Maria Nielsen, incredibly helpful in the beginning, and then quite a few sites had multiple returns of her coming to visit, and those were not so helpful. And in some cases, people didn't feel like there was any reason for it, took up time away from their students. They could have just been given the time and done on their own what they needed to do. A suggestion was that if a team or a school, some group is like, I am totally lost and I really need that kind of training to come, to have it be on a more on a as needs basis rather than, oh, by the way, tomorrow Maria Nielsen is coming, because apparently it wasn't always known in advance enough. So people didn't even know she was coming, and then all of a sudden, she was there. Yeah, so that's the results of those of the survey, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it a lot in negotiations, but I wanted the board to have an idea of the kinds of things that people are saying about it. Overall, very positive, and I'm trying to do the keep calm. It's the first year. It's gonna always get better, and as long as we're working together, I think that's the case. I have one other thing that I'd like to talk to you about, and that is about cybersecurity. I have come across this really interesting website that you guys might wanna, all my notes are on the back of this packet thing, so it has the website address on there. It's called EdTech Strategies, and it's got a K-12 cyber incident map. And I learned a lot just in that page. You can, it has the map of the United States. It has different color tags for different types of cyber issues, attacks. And you can click on it, and it gives you details about what kind of problem it was. How it happened. And so there's the stuff that I think everybody thinks about when you think about a cyber problem, like it being hacked or phishing attacks where, you know, you get that email that looks like it's your bank or whatever, that kind of stuff. And I think for that we're pretty reliant on our tech department. To let you know, nothing has been reported into that system with that map in our area. So that's cool. One of them that I had not heard of is called ransomware. Happened in Modesto, where it took over an entire journalism program and then offered to return access of the program for a ransom. So it would be like they take charge of your Google Drive, and if you want to have access to your documents again, you have to pay for it. They didn't pay. It was weird. I'm a little more concerned with human errors. And an example, one school district that was complying with a media request gave the information. It was like, we want to know how much your teachers make. And in complying with that media request, they neglected to remove the social security numbers, and they shared all the social security numbers for the entire district. It was awesome. And then sharing access to folders that are online and not limiting who sees what part of the folder. For example, in the Bay Area, some parents went on to access information about their own student, and when they did so, they had the information of all the students in the classroom for that teacher. And I think, and my reason for talking to you about it, other than just, hey, here's something that you should be aware of, is that our district uses things like a Google Drive. We have parents accessing information for their students, and we don't have training, or at least the teachers for sure have not had adequate training in how to use those things. And when you go to share something, making sure that you share it correctly, that you don't give out information that you shouldn't be giving out. But just using it, even if we're not worried about sharing information that you shouldn't, we really haven't had the training. We kind of had, okay, everybody, we have this great new thing. Let me show you real quick how it works. In the middle of this PD that you're having on something else to do with language arts, let's throw in a quick half hour of how to use Google Drive. And, you know, go play with it and figure it out. And if you have questions, ask. Some people don't know enough to ask a question. We did have a breach in our district of sharing information that shouldn't have been shared. It didn't get reported to the system. As far as I know, nobody's been held accountable for it yet. If we don't have training, then that's going to continue to happen, I think. And so please consider it. And I've got this.
Thank you, Inga. Okay, thank you. Next, we have the Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3, California School Employees Association, Number 326-648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit. Do we have any no public comments? Next, we have a superintendent's report.
Good evening. Seems like we've been spending a little time together this afternoon, but it's nice to be here. It is the last meeting for John and Rich. Jamie gets to still come when she has items on the agenda, but thank you so much for your input and for being part of cabinet and coming to the board meetings. It's been nice to see you sitting there. We love company. It is that time of year when you all get to sign up for promotions and graduations. So I'm going to start ladies first. And if you'll pick as many dates as you'd like to, and you know, participate in as many promotions or graduations that are listed there. The sites love having board members represented. So I hope you can join Romero and Mike and myself on the stage at the June event, just a little over a month away. And then I also had a call from Ron Shaver, who is going to make a presentation at our next meeting. He spoke with Mr. Allison and then called me at Mr. Allison's direction. And so he's going to come and do a brief presentation you may have seen in the Territorial Dispatch, a recent article about Caltrans and District 10 projects. And he has great concerns. So his presentation is going to be called Keeping Highway 70 and Marysville Safer. So that'll be a 10-15 minute report to the board. So, and with that, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Todd. Man, I'm having a real struggle with it tonight. I'm just going to leave it on. Okay, next we have the approval of minutes of March 27th, 2018. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Motion to approve the minutes as they stand by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Seven yes. Next we have the consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that a board member would like to have pulled? If there's none to be pulled, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve
by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Davis. Any discussion?
Scott.
Oh.
Hey.
Well, at least it was on the correct side of the room.
You didn't look at names.
We'll do, we'll say Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seven yes. Okay, I guess so. So next, moving on to new business, educational services. Number one, 9 through 12 English language arts intensive intervention materials adoption. We're going to open a public hearing. Is there any discussion on it? Ms. Tate, would you like to speak to that?
Intervention program that our high schools have looked at over the course of the year, and they've chosen it as the temporary core for their students that are reading far, far below their regular grade level.
Any other discussion? Thank you. We'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Move to close.
Motion to close by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Aye. Any nays? Nope. Motion carries to close. Next, we need a motion to approve the instructional materials.
I move to approve.
Let's see, Mr. Davis makes a motion to approve the materials. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any no's? Nope. Seven yes. Okay, so actually upon adjourning, the board is going to adjourn back to closed session. Our next regular board meeting will be May 8th, 2018 at 5:30. Meeting adjourned.